Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the executive director, the founder, the man behind the SLMA, the one and only, the amazing Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. Paul Roberts is our announcer on all things in the Funnel Radio channel. The subject of today's program is who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales? Sales pipeline, aka the sales funnel, is the long-standing measurement of the past, present, and future for a company. Manage it well and the customers and shareholders are happy. Manage it poorly and the company never reaches expectations for either one. Traditionally, the pipeline has been called the sales pipeline. It's been owned by the salespeople. But is this a true statement today? To answer this question, we've gone to Matt Hines, the expert's expert on pipeline management. Matt is a prolific author, nationally recognized award-winning blogger, president and founder of the Hines Marketing Group with 15 years of marketing business, and I might add, serious sales experience from a wide variety of organizations and industries. He's been named as the top 50 most influential people in sales lead management, top 50 sales and marketing influencers, written some books, and is also the host of the Sales Pipeline radio program. Matt, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Matt, marketing advancements in marketing automation, AI, and teleservices today, this is all causing increasing claims on the portions of the pipeline that were thought to be the property of sales. Does marketing, in fact, own more than 50% of the pipeline? And what does this mean for the future of these two departments, marketing and sales?
Well, there's a lot of ways to approach that. I think, you know, first of all, it's a pretty nice problem to have when you've got multiple departments in your organization fighting over control of the pipeline. Right. I mean, I think historically it's been the opposite where no one wants to have that responsibility. So, you know, if marketing now says, well, we want to own it, and sales says, well, we've always owned it, like, great, you both own it. Go close some deals, you know? So I'm fine with that. I think I am excited to see that marketing is stepping up a little bit. And as a lifelong marketer, like, I mean, the lack of alignment's been our fault as marketers that, you know, we focused on metrics that aren't revenue producing, are not revenue responsible. So if marketers are willing to step up to a pipeline commitment, not that necessarily we expect marketing to close deals, but for marketing to generate a growing percentage of the qualified sales pipeline, I think that's fantastic. And I think that it's a representative of the fact that the funnel, as we've traditionally known it, is no longer divided horizontally in the middle. I think many funnels, especially when, you know, you've got complex selling, complex buyers, you got a funnel that's divided vertically now, right down the middle. Sales and marketing have roles at each stage of the pipeline. Sales is involved earlier than ever before to help build credibility and trust and provide insights to prospects. I think marketing is involved later than ever before by providing greater sales enablement and better content at the bottom of the funnel. So who owns the funnel? Everybody does. If you can coordinate those efforts, if you can clarify roles, and if you leverage the resources you have more efficiently, I think you're really honest.
10 years ago, sales was sitting at the top of the funnel. They dumped everything in, and then we've got this traditional funnel, 6, 8, 10 stages, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And marketing walked away for the most part. They delivered it to the CRM system, and it was up to everybody else to work out. The marketing automation came in. Oh, okay, it's more mailing and more emailing and telemarketing. And then the company suddenly realized, or the salespeople did, well, if you give me all these inquiries that could be leads, it's impossible for me to call them all, so I won't call any of them to speak of. And then marketing says, well, we can start qualifying these for you. We'll take the telemarketing department, and we'll qualify them through marketing automation. We'll give you qualified leads. So ka-chunk, ka-chunk, all of a sudden, marketing is deeper into the pipeline. I've seen some pipeline drawings of late where if I were to really mark it out and say, who's got the responsibility, I realize that marketing is 3/4 of the way down before the salespeople are even handed the inquiry. It's like the salespeople are pre-venomous to a certain extent. Give me the qualified leads. Mm-hmm. Like Glengarry, Glenn Ross, only give me the good leads. Give me the qualified leads that have a need, desire, buying authority, time frame for purchase. And then you can step away, except providing a little bit of content here and there.
Yeah.
So you look at it as a divide of left and right, all the way down, virtually all the way through the funnel. marketing stays involved if it's doing its job. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it blurs the lines of responsibility a little bit at stages of the funnel, but I think you can still have really crisp clarity of roles at each stage of the funnel. For instance, if you get to the end of the month, end of the quarter, and you've got prospects that are in sort of final justify the decision mode, traditionally marketing would say, well, our job's done. You know, we've created collateral, we've created the lead, and so sales has to go close it. In today's selling environment, you've got sales and marketing sitting together trying to brainstorm how to overcome final objections and get that deal done. You've got marketing willing to go create content for an audience of one to get those big deals across the board. Right? And when you've got two teams that have responsibility and feel responsibility and embrace responsibility for not just pipeline creation, but conversion, you can get some pretty magical things to happen with those teams working together. Now, it does change a little bit of the relationship. It does change the nature of what marketing expects their job is. Marketing is no longer just, you know, the lead generation department. Marketing is no longer in the business of the marketing of more leads, more traffic, more clicks. The fact, you know, traditionally the fact that you might create a piece of content for an audience of one sounds ridiculous, but if that's what helps get one of your big deals closed, that sounds like a pretty good use of marketing's time. So I do think that there is a bit of a change that this requires. I think that managing that culturally inside organizations becomes extremely important. But it also better deploys the resources you have against those revenue centric objectives that are far more important.
I know you and Paul on the program talk about football during the football season. Is this a little bit like the offense and defense? It constantly goes back and forth, and each one tries to do their job, and it constantly moves back and forth all the way through the game. What about with the advent of marketing, operations management, the content management, the digital marketing specialist? All these roles now are created, especially in the bigger companies or in agencies like yours, to help companies that don't have all those roles. These roles are there to constantly bring forth the content or the messaging at the right time for the prospect when they're not only qualifying themselves, but when they're getting into the final stages of the sale. Is it the advent of all these new departments is what's bringing about this ownership, equal ownership of the pipeline?
I don't know if it's that. I actually think, you know, those siloed departments sometimes get in the way of that. I think, you know, the bigger organizations where you've got someone, for instance, that their job is to manage paid search, oftentimes that person has a siloed role, is not doing anything but just generating ROI from search, which is measured based on people that can, you know, fill out a form after searching for something. And so they're measured based on getting the most possible leads and the lowest cost possible cost per leads from search. Both of those objectives may be counterintuitive to building quality pipeline. So I think the more segmented and the larger your marketing organization, the harder it is to then redeploy and refocus everybody on revenue responsibility. But I do think if you've got a CMO who is committed to driving revenue responsible action, you know, you might redeploy some of that paid search less on volume and more on quality. You may narrow significantly the filters you use to generate leads. You may be willing to spend a lot more money on a lead from search as long as it's the right person at the right company that better matches the description of a sales ready lead.
What advice can you give a marketing, a CMO who's not currently doing this, who currently has the attitude? And I know some companies are like this. I put it into the top of the funnel. It's them to take it the rest of the way. Yeah, I've got a marketing automation system. Yes, we deliver some content. But for the most part, it's up to them to take it all the way through to qualification. What do you recommend for a CMO to embark on this partnership, so to speak, in order to increase the revenue, the bottom line?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world if you want to just end your job in marketing as generating leads. What's wrong with that model in many cases is that people generate leads, they don't know what happens to those leads, and yet they just keep generating the same leads. So if your job is done at the lead generation portion, you still have a responsibility to go and measure what happened to those leads after you generated them. So even if you're not impacting and directly involved past the generation of the lead, figure out how many of your leads convert. Figure out what percent of your sales come from marketing sources or are influenced by marketing activities, and then identify where the most efficient leads are coming from, where the most highly converted leads are coming from, and adjust your marketing accordingly. I mean, it's no longer acceptable in B2B marketing to just blindly generate leads and hope the sales team does what they want with them and not have any idea what the ROI on those leads are. So I think that you have to have visibility in that. You have to go back and measure, you know, the attribution of those deals to find out marketing's impact, and then improve your marketing execution to better focus on the right activities and right outcomes.
Do these companies, does every marketing department need a marketing automation system today in place, a separate software package that delivers content?
I think we're getting there. Yeah. I mean, I think that there are companies that don't have it that may not need it right away. I mean, technology is not your strategy, no matter whether it's just CRM or marketing automation or, you know, even email, you know, just, you know, the technology is an enabler of your strategy. So you have to know what you're doing first. And I know many companies, you know, can execute initially without significant systems if they are doing it well. There's a lot of companies that have marketing automation and just use it for batch and send emails and landing pages. Well, that's a, you know, really expensive batch and send and landing page tool if that's what you're going to do. You know, I know others that are really smart about segmenting their audience, segmenting the members of the buying committee, segmenting stages in the buying journey, and they execute that with batch and send emails. They execute that, you know, through more manual processes. Now, that doesn't scale very well as your sales requirements go up. Being able to scale that, what we call kind of the predictable pipeline effort, requires technology. So companies that are committed to scale are going to need a marketing automation platform, we believe, to execute on that. But don't expect that you're going to buy an automation platform and it's automatically going to work without having a strategy behind it.
That's a little bit like buying sheet music and hoping everybody knows how to sing.
True.
Before we take our break, should the marketing department manage a telemarketing department for the qualification of inquiries?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's actually a positive step towards embracing revenue responsibility. I mean, a baby step towards that for many marketing organizations is instead of focusing simply on marketing qualified leads, meaning the right person at the right company that may have raised their hand for something, if the focus is no longer MQLs but is now SQLs, sales qualified leads, meaning you've got a right person at the right company and they're also interested in learning more. You've qualified that they have a need and they've got the means to solve or address that need. That qualification has traditionally been something the sales organization does. I have no problem with marketing doing that for either inbound leads that come in just to figure out which of those white paper downloads actually have a need, or even to identify prospects out in the wild that may not have filled out your forms that exhibit sort of signals of need as well, and calling and qualifying them. So for marketing to now say our job is not just to generate lead volume, our job is to generate pipeline, and then you give marketing responsibility for the lead qualification team behind that, I think that's awesome. Now, that's not always going to go swimmingly right away. I think, you know, when you've got marketing people managing salespeople, there's challenges there. But man, break some glass. You know, perfect is the enemy of good. I think it's a great forward step for a lot of marketing teams.
One last question. Should the CMO be compensated on the pipeline results and the pipeline management of their portion?
Yeah, I don't think that means they're on a commission plan, but you know, if we're giving a CMO a bonus based on website traffic, that's an arbitrary number. Maybe you're selling an enterprise IT solution, you're generating a bunch of dentists to your website to read your blog. That doesn't matter. So I think, you know, tying bonuses and incentives to metrics that you can buy a beer with, I think is really a positive step.
We've been speaking with Matt Hines, the president and founder of Hines Marketing. He's the host for Sales Pipeline Radio. And when we come back, Matt, I'd like you to answer the question, what advice do you give to the sales management staff about getting marketing involved to manage the pipeline? Paul, over to you.
Just a couple of quick notes to jot down. The first one is about Zoom Info. You've heard them on the show before. Well, this June, they're going to have their third annual Growth Acceleration Summit in Boston. Featured presenters include some of the industry's most influential sales and marketing leaders, such as Jay Baer, Neil Patel, Tafani Bova, and the great Grant Cardone. To learn more and register, you can simply visit events.zoominfo.com. That's events.zoominfo.com. And don't put that pencil away now, because we're going to give you a book that you should check out. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we're always talking about Mary Lou Tyler's book, Predictable Prospecting. It's a book designed to help drive B2B sales in organizations like yours. It's a way to add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and predictable revenue growth, something we're always trying to predict. Predictable revenue growth. You can get started right away turning your business into a sales machine. Simply download your free sample chapter at Mary Lou Tyler, just like it sounds, MaryLouTyler. Write that down, MaryLouTyler.com. Predictable prospecting. And last but not least, we always want to talk about Zuant, the new generation of mobile lead capture systems. It's a system you can use every day at every trade show or when you're out on the road to present and send videos and literature to your customers. It looks great and eliminates the need for manually entering your leads later. Isn't that smart? Well, time for you to be smart. Go check out Zuant.com. Z-U-A-N-T. Zuant.com. All right, now back to Jim and the rest of his interview with Matt Hines.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. It's nice to hear from our sponsors today. We've got Matt Hines, president and founder of Hines Marketing. He's been answering the question, who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales? He's made a very good argument here that marketing is, can, and should own a big part of the pipeline. And he's given us good advice on how that can happen. Matt, just before we get started on this last question about the sales management team and how they get marketing involved to own part of the pipeline, tell us a little bit what Hines Marketing does, because you've got a pipeline management company. Don't you really put yourselves up to do that? Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, we help a lot of companies improve their B2B marketing efforts and really build what we call the predictable pipeline engine. I think a lot of companies end up, you know, doing random acts of sales and marketing, you know, campaign here, event there, and some of that may generate a little bit of pipeline and a little bit of demand, but you know, every company that wants to grow needs a predictable and scalable system for generating qualifying demand for the sales organization. And it includes your messaging, it includes your campaigns, it includes your processes and your technology. So we help companies think through that and in many cases build and execute that as well so that they can move from doing random acts of marketing to predictably driving demand and conversion their sales team.
I love the term predictable. It stands out on your website, but I love it because the CFO loves it. The CMO loves it. Everybody loves the predictability of the pipeline because they all know the pipeline in the hands of just the sales management team is usually not very predictable, which brings us to our last question, which is liable to take a minute or so, which is how does a sales manager get marketing involved so they take ownership of the pipeline? There's a lot of CMOs, a lot of marketing departments that say, well, I don't have any responsibility for making sure things are followed up. Salespeople don't follow up the leads. I don't know what they're really doing. Can I really take responsibility for it? How does sales management get them to buy into this and be a part of the solution rather than just complaining about the problems?
It's a great question. And unfortunately, if it's just the sales leadership that's asking marketing to do that, if marketing's not willing to step up and do it, I don't know where the cohesion comes from. I don't know where the teeth are in that conversation.
Fire them.
What's that?
Fire them.
Well, I think
the marketing manager is not going to take responsibility, not going to step up and take ownership over this pipeline after he or she is given the opportunity to do it. Find somebody else that will.
Oh, I completely agree with you, but I think that's not something that the sales leader, I'm assuming, is a peer to the marketing leader. And when we see organizations that make this change, one of two things has to happen, and ideally both. You have to have a marketing leader that is willing to put themselves out in an uncomfortable position and embrace revenue responsibility, even if they don't know yet how to do that in that organization, in that environment. So the marketing team has to be willing. The marketing leader has to be willing. And almost more importantly, you need to have people at a C-level in the organization, people that are in the management team and or the board for a startup organization that requires and mandates that level of engagement between sales and marketing, that level of revenue responsibility for marketing. The data we have shows a very direct correlation between the level in the organization to which that marketing revenue responsibility is mandated and the level to which the marketing revenue responsibility works. Even if marketing has been hesitant or reticent in the past to do it, executive leadership has to stand behind that and make it a priority.
Should there be a role in the company where the C-level person is the head of sales and marketing, and then that person, that coach, gets both of those groups together under his or her mandate?
Yeah, we see that quite a bit. I think that, unfortunately, many chief revenue officers who own sales and marketing are former VPs of sales that still treat marketing as a support organization. just because you own sales and marketing doesn't mean you naturally and inherently believe that marketing has revenue responsibility. I know many chief revenue officers that still think of marketing as the glorified arts and crafts department. So that doesn't necessarily solve the problem. But I think that because you have a CRO in many cases that owns the number, in every case almost that owns the number, if you as the marketing leader are willing to step up and say, hey, we should do things differently so that we can more directly contribute not only to better qualified pipeline, but to increase conversion rate and velocity to close. I don't know many CROs that aren't going to be willing to have that conversation.
I've noticed in the last couple of years as we've interviewed people for CRM Radio and Sales Lead Management Association Radio, and maybe even some people on your own programs, that occasionally these very aggressive marketing managers get in place and they're going to make a difference, and they run up against a sales manager that has the power in the organization and they don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
They think this is an irritant. They think that these people are getting in their way. And very often what happens is the aggressive sales marketing manager ends up by leaving the company.
I've seen many cases where, you know, sales is willing to accept marketing's involvement, but they pull off the table their most important leads and most important accounts because they don't want marketing to screw it up. And that's not, that doesn't happen because they inherently believe marketing or the marketing team's idiots. They're doing that because they have scars in the past of marketing coming in with the wrong message or coming in with something that's too generic or, you know, not presenting the best face to the prospect based on what the prospect needs. Sometimes that's based on sales not understanding how well marketing understands the buyer and the buying process. Sometimes it's based on actual, accurate past performance from marketing.
Yeah.
So if that exists, then it is something that can be overcome, but we're talking about culture changes now. And, you know, I can put together, I mean, hell, I can put together the metrics of success that marketers should be focused on. I can put together a set of responsibilities at each stage of the buying process for sales and marketing. But even if you've got two departments willing to step up, you've still got scar tissue from the past. You've still got a history that's in everybody's brains that you're going to have to overcome. It's not going to happen in a 30-minute presentation at your next sales kickoff. This takes time to move the organizations in this direction, but it's absolutely worth it. I mean, the impact, we've got data that shows, quite frankly, Jim, the data that shows that companies that go from zero alignment between sales and marketing to what our research says is ineffective alignment between sales and marketing, meaning we're trying, but it's not working yet. You still see an increase in sales. You still see an increase in revenue productivity because of that attempt integration. And then once you actually start making it work, I mean, the sales numbers continue to go up. So it's through research and through precedent, absolutely worth doing.
Matt, we're almost at the end of our program here. How can someone reach you if they want to talk about how Hines Marketing makes this happen for companies?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you mentioned earlier, you can go to our website and, you know, check out just Hines, H-E-I-N-Z, marketing.com. We've got a ton of free content up there. We're blogging every day. We've got a ton of best practice guides and white papers and others around building predictable pipelines. So I encourage you to go check that out. You can find me on Twitter just at Hines Marketing, or just my email address is Matt, M-A-T-T, at HinesMarketing.com.
And you've got quite a following on Sales Pipeline Radio. You've had over 20,000 listeners. You've been on doing this every week at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time.
That's right.
Hines Marketing, you've answered the question, who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales? And I think down the middle, both of them do.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Great. Thank you, Matt.
Once again, you've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many radio shows on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.